Is America, as constituted, being threatened these days in the name of fighting the supposed issue of climate change? For example, is the military going to be made at risk because of the insistence by some on the left to make the military all electric by 2030? And we should back up and even ask, is climate change, is global warming the existential threat that it is made out to be? Gregory Wrightstone is a geologist and the executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. He's the best-selling author of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Gregory Wrightstone joins us again on the program. Thank you, Greg. Great to have you back on.
Yeah, it's good to be back on with you again. And as usual, it seems to be getting worse, but as usual, there's a lot to talk about concerning climate change, and it seems to be all bad coming out of the D.C. swamp.
Yeah.
I just shake my head every day. It can't get any worse, and it does. Banning natural gas stoves. And there was a big article today in the Washington Times, the Washington Post, about how the Biden administration is not just coming after your gas ovens. They're coming after washing machines, your toilets, the light bulbs, everything in your home. They want to regulate and control.
Why?
And it's really, I think it's becoming pretty obvious this isn't about saving the planet or reducing CO2, but rather controlling the population, controlling the freedoms that we have to choose what to drive, how to heat our homes, how much water comes out of our shower head, how many times we have to flush the toilet. I mean, we could go on and on and on and list the things that they want to control. It's crazy.
But the thing that's so interesting about this, it gets back to that second question I was asking, is climate change, is global warming the existential threat that it's made out to be? That's sort of the foundation or the fountainhead of all these problems. If these were real threats, then maybe we all ought to say, oh yeah, what can we do to get this better? But you question even the premise, and that's so important to understand.
I don't question it. I confront it adamantly. And the science, the facts, and the data don't support this. We find here at the CO2 Coalition, we're now more than 125 of the top scientists and experts in the world. Oh, and to that point, we just added last week Dr. John Clauser to our board of directors. Oh. And you'll say, who is that? Well, he was the 2022 Nobel Prize laureate for physics. And what was important there, he's joined us. He believes, as we do, that there is no climate crisis. And in fact, after he accepted his prize and put the check in his wallet, he then confronted the Nobel Prize Committee and lectured them on why they were wrong in awarding the previous Nobel Prize to climate modelers that got it wrong. And then he was invited to the White House not that long ago, where Joe Biden honored him. And after that, he told Joe Biden, spoke directly to him and said that his climate policies were misguided. And I talked to John last week. He said, I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, what'd he say? He said that my science, it was right-wing science that I was promoting, right-wing science. This is the Nobel laureate.
Wow.
And Joe Biden's lecturing him on science. And in fact, what John Clauser, we just announced it just a few hours ago that he was joining us. And he says, in my opinion, there is no real climate crisis. And he went on to just excoriate those that think they do. So what he believes, as we do, that the combination of modest warming and increasing CO2 is leading to an Earth that's, our ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and humanity's benefiting from warming and more CO2, and it's not even close. By almost every metric we look at, we find that the fact of the matter is that things are getting better. Life is good and getting better is the big story. It's a completely false narrative. And what they want to do, and what frustrates me, Jerry, is that we get the GOP, people that should know better, John Kennedy from Louisiana, bless his heart. I love a lot of what he says, but just last week he started his grilling of, I think it was Granholm. He said, well, you know, I accept that that we need to get to net zero. Really, John? Really? It's going to take trillions, tens, or maybe even hundreds of trillions of dollars to achieve net zero for virtually no claim change in the global temperature.
What does that mean, net zero?
They start with the premise that there's a crisis being solved.
Right. And then they're basically saying, but we have a different approach as to how to solve the crisis. What you're saying is, no, there is no crisis. And that's the false premise on which all this is based. Right. But what does net zero mean?
Zero carbon dioxide emissions. And so fossil fuels, we've increased carbon dioxide in the atmosphere from the burning mainly of fossil fuels. And the allegation is that CO2 is a greenhouse gas, which it is, and that it's leading to unprecedented amounts of warming. It's not, which will then lead to climate catastrophe, which is all based on failed climate models that overpredict warming. We don't see those climate catastrophes happening at all. We see no increase in hurricanes, tornadoes in decline. Actually, global fire in the Northern Hemisphere is declining. We're not experiencing deforestation. We're experiencing reforestation. I could go on and on and on. Anytime, but what they do, tragedies happen all the time. Natural disasters happen all the time.
Hurricanes.
And they always have, tornado. And they always will. But they're taking every natural disaster that's natural and blaming on our emissions. So it goes back to this demonization of what we call the miracle molecule, CO2 or carbon dioxide. They call it the demon molecule.
Okay, tell us about the military and plans to make it all electric, and that would be by 2030. That would be a huge change. I'm not sure I don't see how that could be a winning policy.
Whoa, Jerry, you don't remember all those electric charging stations during Desert Storm?
Yeah,
neither do I.
Yeah.
How does that work? The only thing that works, if they're going to completely electrify the military, good. I've no idea how they get there. Now, bear in mind the
and would the enemies do that? Would our enemies do that?
No, they'll be laughing at us. Well, they won't be laughing. They'll be picking us off as our vehicles sit dead in the desert or the jungle or wherever they happen to be. And there's just no good. And plus, if you have a 4-ton vehicle or a 5-ton vehicle, rather, you're going to need 4 tons. Of batteries to power that electric troop carrier or whatever. These batteries are extremely heavy. So it just adds to the nightmare that we're going to have. And can you imagine too, in a European warfare anywhere outside of the desert, a muddy situation, what's already bad. We see what's going on in Ukraine where they don't fight during certain times here because it's just the weather and it's wet and they just bog down in the mud. We saw that in World War II with Hitler, and in the Russians. So, it just doesn't make sense. Plus they're trying to electrify everything, which just electrifying cars, it looks like we're going to have to double our electric generation capacity in the United States, which they're trying to do it with wind and solar, but for every megawatt of wind and solar, you have to, if you're going to add 10 megawatts of wind or 10 megawatts of solar, you have to have 10 megawatts of natural gas fired backup delivery or nuclear or coal, something that's reliable. Cause both solar goes down. Well, solar stops every day. We know that. And wind has a tendency to die just when we need it during heat waves and also during very cold weather events, the wind just becomes very still. And so it's very little capacity. So now we've got to rely on these. And what that does is just drive up the cost for the whole process, because you're going to have to build all these backup facilities that sit idly by not being used.
Yeah, what's so interesting, too, I mean, isn't the whole goal here supposedly to protect the environment? Aren't these batteries for electric cars terrible as far as the environment. Oh, and aren't some of the parts even basically drawn from the earth through slave labor, effectively? I mean, it's unbelievable.
There's so many things wrong with this. We could talk about the rare earth minerals that are, they need to be open pit mined. So you're going to lay waste the huge expanses of earth. And it's hard to do that in an environmentally friendly way. But there are ways to make it less environmentally destructive. But where it's being done, under the control of China, cobalt isn't strip mined, but they're using child labor in the Congo to mine this cobalt, because the where they have to go in is very narrow, and only young kids can get in there. And so they're using child labor in the Congo. They're using slave labor, Uyghurs in China, for the solar panels they're constructing. Most of the processing of these needed elements and minerals are done in China. So we're swapping our allegiance and reliance from Saudi Arabia and OPEC to China. I don't know about you. I'd rather be reliant on King Abdullah than President Xi. That's just me.
Wow.
They've been strong allies for us for many, many decades. And Joe Biden's driving them away from us.
Well, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said recently, I do think that reducing our reliance on the volatility of globally traded fossil fuels, where we know that global events such as the war in Ukraine can jack up prices for people back home, does not contribute to energy security. And she said, I think energy security is achieved when we have homegrown clean energy that is abundant. We have about 2 minutes left. What is she missing here?
Boy, when she's talking about homegrown energy, she's talking about unreliable wind and solar. We were energy self-sufficient when Joe Biden took office. And the first thing he did was kill the XL pipeline. If he had left that go, we'd be bringing 830,000 barrels a day down from Canada right now. Right now. That's 830,000 barrels a day we could sure use. It's not American, but it's from North America, from a friend and ally. They need to open up. We can become energy independent again. I just look at, I know the natural gas business very well, having been a geologist and written some of the first research of the Marcellus Shale and these shale gas reservoirs. And we have a super abundance, unbelievably huge amounts of natural gas that we should exploit and use. And we were doing it. Now they're restricting that. Part of it is through regulations, over-regulating. They're also stymieing pipelines to get these vast quantities of natural gas from Pennsylvania up into New England where it's needed. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to shut down and go to this net zero is thought to be – the numbers I've seen, anywhere from $100 to $200 trillion – to get to net zero, if we could even do it, and I don't think we can. And if we did get there, it would have scarcely any measurable impact on possible warming from CO2.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for being with us. InconvenientFacts.xyz is your website. There's also, what, a CO2 Coalition website?
We'll be announcing the rollout of our educational initiative. You can go to CO2 Learning Center YouTube, CO2 Learning Center. It's a YouTube. We're going to have a website, hopefully within 10 days, that will launch with books, videos, lesson plans.
Okay, I missed the one part about the CO2 Coalition. Is CO2coalition.org. Okay. Greg Wrightstone, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you.